All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. So just a number of Baruch Hashem, a number of dedication. Sasha, first of all, I thank you to the Tusk family. Where's Morty? Morty Tusk is in here. Baruch Hashem. Sponsorship this morning by the Tusk family in honor of an incredible mazel tov, the engagement of their daughter, Bryna.
Wow.
Hashem, last night, mazel tov.
Wow.
Zivug should be Oli Yofa, and they should build a bayis neman be Yisrael b'sha tova umetzlachos. Mazel tov.
Amen.
I thank you to Michael and Linda Elman for dedicating this morning's shiur in memory of Michael's maternal grandmother, Chaya Sarah Bas David Aaron, on the occasion of her yahrzeit. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Nesham will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama.
Amen.
We also thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Teves, Shirley Elbaum, together with their sons Avron, Sean, and Judah Elbaum, and their families, for dedicating the Shiurim and Joshua's this month in memory of their beloved husband and father, Jerry Elbaum, and a commemoration of his 10th year. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Hashem will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. We also have a special sponsorship this morning, or I should say this week, for a sponsorship for a week of learning in honor of Pam Weissman's birthday, dedicated by her children, in recognition of her commitment to Derech Eretz and to Talmud Torah. We hope that Pam has a wonderful birthday and a successful year. And Hatzlocha and Bracha Adnei Ve'esim Shanim Tovos. It's also very special to welcome Hananya Kramer, who is in the back filming. You might, I think all of us were inspired by Hananya's incredible work leading up to the Siyum HaShas. The truth is, just to watch the videos on the Jumbotron at the Siyum HaShas in and of itself was worth making the trip. And just his odorous that came from his incredible and overwhelming work. Hananya is embarking on a very ambitious project to go ahead and track the progression of Daf Yomi over 7.5 years. Think of it like a prolonged reality TV show, right? So seven and a half years. And so Hananya is here this morning to begin. Already he's running 2 weeks behind, you know, but really to go ahead and show the impact that Daf Yomi has on people, not just at the Siyum. You know, by the Siyum HaShas, there's always this odorous, but to see how the journey changes us, because the journey changes all of us. We're not the same. The truth is, even on a regular day, I'm not the same person before the daf as I am after the daf. Halach has kama v'kama, all the more so the beginning of the Masechta, the end of a Masechta, and the truth is, part of the beauty of our shir is that literally we have people, some are here for the first time for Gemara. Others are here for the first time in Daf Yomi. Some could be here in person sometimes on the podcast, other times. Some travel, and it's beautiful, but yet Torah brings us all back together. Torah creates this incredible bond. So Hananya is going to be filming us a little bit today, and if anyone would like to stay after the shir a little bit, share some personal reflections and insights about Daf Yomi, not about your life or any other, you know, this is not like a therapy, it's not free therapy, I just want to be clear. Then I know that he would appreciate it. And again, sometimes we grow and we progress in ways that we don't even understand. I've had this chus to see this in myself and in many others, the impact of learning Torah every single day and the impact of literally holding in a blat Gemara, and even days where you're not really holding in the Gemara all that much, but the impact that learning has on you, that Torah has on you, the transformative effect that it has on you when you wake up one day and you don't recognize the person you are in a good way, and you wonder, when did this change occur? And it occurs, Samir Tzashem, it'll be exciting. It's a great schuss for us to be part of this project. And again, whoever would like to stay after this year for a couple of minutes to speak to Rabbi Hananya, I know that we would welcome it. So I'll say with that, let us begin. Today's daf is Tes Zayin 16. We are picking up on Tes Vav Amud Beis 15b, and we left off yesterday at the two dots. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. Tani Raboshia. Kamei Durava. Shabbosai, I began this line yesterday. Shabboshia taught in front of Rava. Uksaftam. So the pasuk says Uksaftam. Hakol Biksav. Afilu Tzelas. So remember again, the Gemara over here is talking about what we know that you write the parshios of Shema in Tefillin as well as in Mezuzah. So the Shaila is it just the actual parsha, or do you also have to write the instructions concerning the writing of the parsha? So the Gemara Rav Hoshea says that when you go ahead and you write the section of Shema inside of Tefillin and Mezuzahs, you include the parsha in its entirety, including the instructions. Amar Lei, Dorma Lachamar, Rabbi Yehuda, Dorma Gabe Sota Alos Kosev Tzavaos Eino Kosev. Rabbi Yehuda himself says that by Sota, so we'll remember again, the Sota woman suspected of adultery, we have the entire process whereby whereby the parsha of Sota is written, dissolved in water. The Sota herself goes ahead and drinks that water. So that entire parsha is written. But I will say, including the part that's written is what? Alos, the curses are written. Savos, but the actual instructions that the Torah lays out for the writing of the parsha is actually not written down on that piece of parchment. That's by because of Sota, it says, because we'll say there, the pasuk explicitly says that you shall go ahead and write the curses. So we understand the fact that the Torah says you shall write the curses indicates to us that what? That you don't have to write the instructions. Aval hocha, dichsiv uksavtom, afilu tsavaos nami. I will say, by here, by tefillin and mezuzos, the Gemara is dashing uksavtom, ksiva tama, a complete writing. It must include the entire parsha, both as with the mitzvah, we'll call it kabbalos almachu shamayim, as well as ultimately, again, the actual instructions to write tefillin and mezuzos. So the Gemara says, atu tam Rabbi Yehuda mishum dichsiv akasav. So we'll say, is Rabbi Yehuda's logic, because the pasuk says v'kasav, tamid Rabbi Yehuda mishum dechsev alos, alos in savos lo. So we'll say, so I don't understand, what are we learning out over here from Sota? By Sota, Rabbi Yehuda's logic is, the pasuk is quite explicit when it says, you shall write down the alos, you shall write down the curses. You don't write the instructions, to which the Gemara says, lo. It's just sakadayit chamino, neilif ksiva ksiva mehasam. So we'll say, I'm out of thought, that I make a gzeirah shava of ksiva ksiva, of writing, writing, from Sota. Ma hasam alos in sava oslo, just like by Sota, ultimately, again, there is an obligation to write the curses, but not the instructions. Av hacha nami tzava oslo, tzava oslo. So too, over here, I might have thought by tzulun and mezuzos, you also don't write the instructions. Therefore, again, kasav rachmanu ksavtam afilu tzava os. So Rabbi say, and this indeed is halacha l'maisa, that if you look in the parashios of tefillin and mezuzos, not only do they have the sections of Shema, but they also include the very psukim which command us to write tefillin and mezuzos. And all of that is learned out from one word, uksavtam, ksivatama, has to be a complete writing. Beautiful. Tani Rabbi Avadja kamei de Rava. We'll say, beautiful Gemara. Rabbi Avadja taught in front of Rava. So we'll say, the Gemara over here, quotes on the pasuk, v'limaratem osam es b'neichem ledaber bam. So remember, kriyashma. So a pasuk, v'limaratem, so we'll say, is incredible. Shehei l'mutcha tam. But it means that you're reading, really means over here, it literally means learning. But really what it means is your reading of Shema must be complete. And Bose, what does this mean? Sheyitein revach ben hadvekim. Bose, what this means is you have to put space in between your words. So listen to this for just a moment. Right? You have to put, I'm not looking at anyone specific, right? You have to go ahead and put space in between yours. So listen to this. Ani Rav Abbas, right? When is this true? Kigon alevavcha, alevavchem, becholevavcha, becholevavchem, esev besadcha, vavaratem et mehira, Hakanav psil pschem me'aretz. So we'll say, what does this mean? Anytime you have two words, right, which end and begin with the same letter, if you say it too quickly, what could happen? Essentially, again, they could kind of bleed into one another, right? They merge into one long word. So therefore, the Gemara is dashing over here, v'limaretem she'lemut chatam. Your articulation and enunciation of the words must be complete. So that's true with every word. We spoke about this, Rabbi Sai, in yesterday's daf, right? That although ideally one is supposed to pronounce all of the words of Shema appropriately, b'di'evet, if you didn't, you're still Yotze. But certainly with words where the word ends and begins with the same letter, in other words, word one and word two, and then begin with the same letter, it's easy just to kind of, what's the word, not bleed into it, but merge them together, right? So be careful to ultimately articulate them in a way that separates the words. So what's an incredible Gemara? I'm Rabbi Chabra, Rabbi Chanina. Kalakorek Kriya Shema Medaktik Bosio. So we'll say, listen to this Gemara. Anyone who reads Shema and is careful with the words, Nitzaninin lo Gehenim. They cool down Gehenim for him. So it's interesting, I'm saying, some people, their goal is to get into Olam Haba. Right, other people, the goal is to cool down Gehenim. Right, everything depends where you're headed. I will say, in all seriousness, we'll have to see what this Gemara means. Whoever says Kriya Shema and is careful with the words, they cool down Gehenim for him. Shene'emar, the Gemara quotes over here, the pasuk in Tehillim, Befares sadai melachim ba tashlei kitzalmon. So I'll say, so literally it means, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu scatters the kings, Tashlei Ketzalmon. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says Befarish Sadai Im Tefarish. So here the Gemara darshins it to mean Al Tikri Befarish Ella Befarish. So don't read it as befaresh to scatter, but rather befaresh to articulate. Al tuki bitsalmon, ela bitsalmoves. So he who takes the time to properly articulate the words of Shema, mitsaninin lo gehenim. They cool down Gehenna for such a person. So we'll say, so it's interesting. The Tiferet Shlomo, the great Tiferet Shlomo of Radomsk, says, what's the pshat? What does this mean? You articulate the words of Shema, it cools down Gehenna. So he says something amazing. So we'll say, sometimes when you take the time to really be medaktik in words, you lose a little bit of your kavana. You lose a little bit of your kavana. So what happens when you lose? So the idea is, my Shema may not be as impactful, but yet again, it's more correct. So the impact of the Shema might not be so spiritual. So the residual impact of it is Mitzanin and Lo Gehenim. All right, they'll cool down. It's not going to be a Kriya Shema that's going to get me into Gan Eden, but it's going to cool down Gehenim a little bit. So the Rebbe says something amazing, because sometimes in life, you have to sacrifice inspiration for adherence to details. This is an incredible, incredible yisod. We often think that the goal of Yiddishkeit is to be inspired, and that's absolutely true. But to be a good Jew requires absolute adherence, allegiance, and fidelity to details. And sometimes the details could be so overwhelming that what happens? I get so focused on the details that I lose a little bit of the inspiration. And says the Tiferet Shlomo, yeah, sometimes that's what happens. But ultimately, again, the details are such an incredible and important piece in the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, he goes, another potential possibility is, they will say, when you see Gehenim, we often assume that Gehenim is a place where ultimately, again, you go to, it's a place after 120, right? It's a next world destination. Both say there are plenty of people who have Gehenim in Olam Hazeh, right? Plenty of people who live lives of Gehenim for a variety of different reasons. So perhaps what the Gemara is also saying is like this, that sometimes a person says Kriya Shema b'kavana. And remember, as we've spoken about so many times before, the essence of Shema is ultimately a solidification and concretizing of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a commitment to Hashem. They both say, you know, sometimes having a strong relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mitzanin and Lo Gehenim, it takes a little bit of the edge off life. Life is complicated, and life could sometimes be exceptionally difficult. But when you have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it helps you get through things. It doesn't always solve all the problems. But Mitzanin and Lo Gehenim, it could take the edge off life a little bit and give you the chizik you need to ultimately overcome your challenges. The Gemara goes weiter. Bam Rabbi Chan, Rabbi Chanina. Lama nismuchu o'alim l'nachalim. People say, why is there a top of Tes Zayin? Why is there a juxtaposition between tents and rivers? The chsiv, because the Gemara quotes in the Pasuk in Bamidbar, quotes over, kinachalim nitayu keganos alei nahar, ke'ohalim nata Hashem ka'arazim alei mayim. Supposed to listen to this. So literally, so the part that the Gemara is focusing on over here is, kinacham stretches out like rivers, keganos alei nahar, like gardens by the sides of the river, ke'ohalim nata, like tents that have been set up. Lomar l'chol, both say this is so beautiful. Ma nechalim ma'alin es ha'adam mituma l'tara, just like a nachal, a river, could take a person from tuma l'tara. Both say, in other words, if you use the river like a mikvah, right? So just like the river has the capacity to ultimately be ma'alin, lift a person up from impurity to purity, af o'alim, so too tents, ma'alin es ha'adam mikaf chov l'kaf schos. So we'll say, what tents are you referring to over here? Look at Rashi, Af Olim, Batei Midrashos. And we'll say, just like the river has the ability to affect, the transformative effect on the individual from Tumah to Tahara, so we'll say, the tents, the base Medrash, has the ability to go ahead and Ma'alin HaSa'adam, to lift up a person, Mikaf Chov, from liability, Lekaf Schos, ultimately again to righteousness. And I will say, I'll tell you something amazing. This is so important. How does a mikvah work? I will say, what do you have to do in order for the mikvah for it to be matari? What do you have to do? Right? Just got to walk in. See, I will say, sometimes we think that in order to tap in to the transformative, cathartic power of Torah, I need to be a Talmud Chacham. I need to understand every word. I need to understand all the shitos. The Gemara is comparing over here the Beis Medrash ultimately to the river. Just like all you need to do with the river is walk in, all you need to do with the Beis Medrash is walk in. paying attention is good also. Let me go on record with that. Right? But lemaisa, the cathartic, we'll say, we don't know, like, I get inspired every time I come into the Beis Medrash and I get to see all of you. Because listen, you don't understand, like, the impact of just walking in, the impact of making a choice to be in the Beis Medrash. We could be anywhere we want, but to make a choice to be in the Beis Medrash and to sit in front of the Gemara, to learn Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, that's just like the immersion, just like walking into the river affects purity. Walking into the Beis Medrash, sitting in front of an open sefer, affects that purity as well. The Gemara goes right there. So also remember again, the Mishnah said that if a person reads Kriya Shema out of order, you're not Yotze. Rabbi Amir Rabbi Yassi, we'll see, this is a great Gemara, a great Gemara. Rabbi Amir Rabbi Yassi, really great. Havuka Katrin like Ganana, Rabbi Elazar. Also listen to this. Rabbi Amir Rabbi Yassi, we're going ahead and setting up the chuppah of Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar was, more, this is good mamish, you could use this. You could use. So they were going ahead and setting up the chuppah for Rabbi Elazar, right? So Rabbi Elazar is getting married, and his chaverim, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, were setting up the chuppah. Listen to this. Amr lehu. So Rabbi Elazar says, Adahachi vahachi ezel ve'eshma milsa debe midrasha. So Rabbi Elazar says, okay, you guys are working. There's nothing that much for me to do. Right? See, not, I'm going to go to the Beis Medrash. I'll go learn a little bit. Ve'isi ve'eim alechu. And I'll come back and tell you something. I'll tell you what I learned. So I'll say, see, you just see something. Can you imagine if you were in this scene? You would be like, I have a better idea. Why don't you help out? Right? Why don't you come? I will say, but amazingly enough, see, they understood. I will say, because this is what chaverim, because what chaverim do, right? When we use the word friend very loosely. We use the word friend and acquaintance very interchangeably. When you have a friend, a chaver, you want to do for them. Shabbos says, so over here, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Asi, are the chaverim, Rabbi Elazar, their chaver is getting married. It's not the pshat that I'm sure Rabbi Elazar could have done, could have set up his own chuppah. The chaverim want to do that for him. They want to do that. So Rabbi Elazar says, okay, you're not letting me help out. So you know what? I'll go to the Beis Medrash. I'll learn something. I'll come back and I'll tell you guys what I learned. Fantastic. So I'll say what happens. So Rabbi Elazar goes to the Beis Medrash and he goes to find Rabbi Yochanan. He finds the Tanu teacher from Rabbi Yochanan. Listen to this. What are they learning? This is actually a very important halacha. Let's say reading Kriya Shema. I made a mistake. I don't know where I made a mistake. In other words, what we're really referring to over here is I get confused where I'm up to in Shema. So what's the halacha? Bemtza perek yachzor l'rosh. So I'll say, if I know what paragraph I'm in, but I just don't know where in the paragraph I made a mistake, it's very simple. What do I do? Go back to the beginning of that paragraph. Bein perek leperek. What happens if, again, I'm not sure which chapter, which paragraph I'm in, right, of Shema? Then what? Yachzor leperek rishon. Go back to the first paragraph. So if I'm not sure which paragraph I'm in, go back to the earliest one. Bein ksiva leksiva. So I'll say, this is very interesting. Let's say, again, I'm not sure. Rashi says Bein Ksiva L'Ksiva. She'edei she'tzarech lomar uksaftam ve'eni yodem rishonim sheni. I know that I said uksaftam, but I'm not sure what. Did I say uksaftam in v'yahafta or in v'hayayim shamoa? So what's the halacha? Yachzor L'Ksiva Rishona. You go back to the first uksaftam, ultimately again in v'yahafta. So I'll say, so these are the halachos ultimately again of making a mistake. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, lo shano ela shelo pasach b'lamayin yirbu yimeichem. So Rabbi Yochanan said, this is only true if you did not go ahead and open up, if you did not say the man yirbu yimeichem at the end of Ayam Shamoah. Ava pasach b'leman yirbu yimeichem sarchei nakat. But Rabbi say, if halacha l'maisi, if you already said l'man yirbu, then we could assume sarchei nakat. Now Rabbi say, sarchei nakat means the regular habit has set in. Now Rabbi say, this is fascinating. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, sarchei nakat, ein litos mikan ad emes v'yatziv, this is incredible. So Rashi's understanding of this phrase is as follows. That once you've said Leman Yirbu Yimechem, we could assume that that you've finished through the third paragraph of Shema. Once you know you said Leman Yirbu, it kind of like autopilot kicks in. That's Leman Yirbu. And I've gotten all the way through the end of the third parsha of Kriya Shema. Others disagree with Rashi. Tosfos disagree. Others disagree. And they understand the Rashi. The Rashi disagrees and says, no. What that means is, if you said L'man Yirbu, what does that tell you? That ultimately, again, we are sure that you are at the end of the paragraph of V'hayayim Shamoah. So that now that you're confused where you are, go back to L'man Yirbu and go on and stay from there. Abbas say that is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Shulchan Aruch says, again, Abbas say these are all these statements are halacha lemaisa. So if you're not sure, again, you know which paragraph you're not sure. Where in the paragraph, go back to the beginning. You're not sure which paragraph, go back to the first paragraph. What happens if you said leman yirbu? What happens if you said leman yirbu? So Abbas say, so the halacha is over here. This is in Samech Dalid, Simon Samech Dalid. So the halacha is v'hani milish lehiskel leman yirbu. Shulchan Aruch as well as other Rishonim understand that this Leman Yirbu is a continuation of the previous case. Remember, what was the previous case? Lemaisa, I said uksaftam, but I don't know, is it the ksaftam of the Ahaftar v'ayayim shamoa? So when in doubt, what do you do? What do you do? Go back to the Ahaftar. Unless, of course, what? You said Leman Yirbu. If you said Leman Yirbu, then that is indicative of the fact that what? That you're in the Ksaftim of Hayayim Shamoah and continuing from there. Say, and that is indeed Halacha Lamaisa. So watch this. So the Gemara says, here's the end of the story. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei. I'm sorry. V'asi v'asav Amar Lehu. So Rabbi says, so Rabbi Lotri comes back to his Chavirim. They're probably still struggling with the chuppah, right? So he comes back to his chaverim. Amru lei, so that he comes back. Asi va'asi asa amr lehu. So Rabbi Lazar comes back and tells them this teaching. Amru lei, they said to him, ilu la banu ela lishma davar zeh dayenu. Oh, it's so beautiful. So they said, you know what? It's great to put up your chuppah, and it's wonderful to be besimcha in your chasana. But had we just come to hear this halacha, dayenu, that would have been enough. Such a beautiful gemara. And we'll say Mishnah, great Mishnah. Great Mishnah. Ha'omnin korin barosha ilam. So we'll say workers. So we'll say these Mishnayos are important for two reasons. Number one, because it tells Hilchos Kriya Shema, what they also sensitize us to is the halachos concerning being an employee. That if you work for someone and you are getting paid for your time, the halacha is incredibly sensitive to what we permit you to do with that time. So watch this. Ha'omnin. So we'll say workers, Karn Barosha Ilan, say Shema even when they are right on the top of the tree. So also we're talking about over here that the Umman, the particular worker over here, is hired to, let's say, I don't know, he's hired to take down fruit from the tree, to cut down branches. He's up in the tree. Zman Kriya Shema comes. So what's the halacha? The halacha says, don't come down from the tree and start saying Shema, because that's going to waste your employer's time. Instead, what can you do? You could recite Shema up in the tree itself. Ubarosha Nidbach. Similarly, again, the halach is what's a nidbach is bricks. Rashi says, binyan shal avonim. Right? Ultimately, someone building a building of stone or a building of bricks. Ultimately, again, if you're on the wall, that's the image over here. I'm on top of the wall laying bricks or laying stones. Ultimately, again, like we spoke about yesterday, bricks and stones. Right? Ultimately, don't come down from the wall. Rather, continue on top of the wall saying Shema. Mashin rashon lasos kin betfila. But I will say, this is only true by what? This is only true by Shema. Shmona Esrei is different. Why Shmona Esrei is different? We'll say, look at Rashi, Masha'in Roshan Lasos Kim B'Tfila, Ditzalusa Rachamehi, because Tfila is Rachamim. Right? Tfila ultimately, again, is supplication. Uboi Kavana. So we'll say, it's very interesting. As much as Shema requires Kavana, Shmona Esrei requires a heightened level of Kavana. Furthermore, again, remember, by Shema, really, Me'ikar Adin, you need Kavana for what? Right? Really for the first line. I mean, obviously you need Kavana for the whole thing. But the idea is ideally Kavana for the first line. So there's a much smaller window of necessary Kavana. For Shmona Esrei, you can't sit Shmona Esrei on the tree. You can't sit Shmona Esrei on the top of the wall. Why? Rashi says, Demistifi Dilma Nafli, Din Yechonu Lam Mocham Ela Aydi Adchak. So we'll say very simple. Because a person can't maintain their balance on the tree or on the wall for so long. So for one line of Shema, I can get that done. One line of Shema, I could get that done. But ultimately, again, to go ahead and do it for Shmona Esrei, that's too much. The Gemara goes weiter. Chasen, pater mikresh alei l'shona. So also, we saw this already before. A chasen is pater from Shema on the first night, the night of his chasana, va'ad matzei Shabbos, and until matzei Shabbos, imlo asa maisa, if he did not engage in the Bia Rishona, the first act of relations. I've always said, so remember, this is all presupposing that when our chasana is taking place, really taking place, Wednesday night. We remember this from our Ksuvis days, Wednesday nights. Why Wednesday nights? Because if there's a claim that she wasn't a basula, Beis Din would be in session on Thursday morning. So the idea over here is the chasan is pater from Kriya Shema. Ultimately, again, the first night, remember we spoke about this before, Tir Da Demitzel, we'll speak about it again today, up until Matzei Shabbos. We give him four nights, ultimately, again, for the Bia Rishona. After that, But after that, so if he did not have relations for the first four nights, he'll go on to be pater from Kriyat Shema. But obviously, once the first act of relations has occurred, he's no longer pater. Incredible story. Rabbi Gamliel, Shenasa Isha Vekara Laila Harishona. Well, so Rabbi Gamliel went ahead and got married, and he said Shema on his wedding night. Amrul Tamidov, Limaratan Rabbeinu Shechasan Pater Mikriyat Shema. So he said, Rabbi, you taught us that a chasan is pater from Kriyat Shema. So listen to this. Amr Lahem, Eini Shomea Lachem Levatel Hemeni Malchoshan Filusha Achas. So Begumil says, I'm not listening to you guys. Right? I'm not listening to you to cause me to lose out on Kabbalah's Ol Nachushan. We should both say, in other words, so Begumil was saying, Begumil wasn't disagreeing. He's saying, yes, that is the halacha that I taught. But Rabbi said, either he was saying that Bepashtos, the reason a chasan is pater is because we assume he cannot have proper concentration. Rabbi Gamliel said, I know that I have proper concentration. I can have proper kavana even that first night. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tan Rabbanon, ha'omnin korin barasha ilan barasha nidbach. So let's listen to this halacha. So the omnin, workers, have the right to say, not have the right, say Shema on the top of the tree, on the top of the wall. Umispalalin barasha zayis barasha te'inan. Now let's listen to this. You can daven Shema and say, apparently, in olive trees and in date palms. I will say, Rashi points out here why? Because these trees have thicker leaves. So literally, again, you could stand on them. You could stand on them and have for yourself some more stable footing. Ushar kala linot ilanos, but by all of the trees, yardin lamatim espalim. You come off the tree and you daven on the ground. Ubalabais, so what if you're the balabas? First wide line. Balabas, benkach ubenkach yored lamata umispala. Say, listen to this. You see, it's only employees who have to do, right, who have constriction, who have limitations of their davening. If you're the balabas, right, then ultimately, again, you have an obligation to daven with more kavana, right? You can't run out of shul if you're the balabas, right? Because if you're the balabas, you don't have to punch the clock, right? The employees have to punch the clock, so they have to run. But if you're the balabas, ultimately, again, you have to come down to say Shema. You have to come down, ultimately, to daven Shemona Esrei. Why? Because I will say, everyone agrees with the fact that what? Everyone agrees that halacha lemaisa, it is not ideal to say Shema in a tree, right? Everyone agrees with that. Just like it's not ideal to daven Shemona Esrei even in an olive tree and a date palm. But what Rabbi said, there's a balance. So we'll see on the stand over here, there's a balance. The balance over here ultimately is, on one hand, the need to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to need to be honest to my employer. So the halacha strikes this balance and says, okay, Shema say in the tree, Shemona Esrei come down. But if you're the balabas, so you're not answerable to anyone because you're in charge, then lemaisa, get down from the tree. Right? Get down from the tree and daven shema, say appropriately. Rav Mari, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, posed the question to Rav. Now, Bosei Rashi points out over here, it's interesting that Rav Mari is referred to as the son of the daughter of Shmuel, right? What does that mean? Who's his father? So Rashi points out, we've seen this in a number of places. Berad ba Shmuel, bekama makomos kari le barachal. So Bosei, sometimes he's referred to as Rav Mari barachal. So who is this Rachel? Bas Shmuel. She was the daughter of Shmuel. Venish Pislabinam. She was once taken captive, and she was violated by her captor. And as a result from that violation, she became pregnant, ultimately again with her son Rav Mari. Now, amazingly enough, here's the incredible part of the story. Her captor converted and they got married. Right? Her captor was a man by the name of Isser. Isser was the biological father of Rav Mari. But ultimately, again, because Isser fathered Rav Mari ultimately while he was still a Gentile, so Rav Mari is known by his mother, right? Be the Bas Rachel or the daughter of Shmuel's grandson. Incredible story. So the Gemara says as follows. So Tinan, he learned as follows. So he raised the following shayla to Rava. Tinan, ho'omnin korn barosha ilan barosha nidbach, right? Workers are able to say Shema on the top of the tree, on the top of the wall. Amalo boy kavano. So we'll say, see from the fact that a worker can say Kriyat Shema on a wall or on the top of a tree indicates to us what? That he doesn't really require all that much kavana. Or miniban, raise the kasha, hakori Shema, if a person says Shema, tzarek sheikha, min asli, we have to have kavana. Shnei emar, Shema Yisrael. Ulalanu omer, haskes u Shema Yisrael. Ma lahalan bahaskes, afkan bahaskes. So we learned this before. Again, the phrase of haskes u Shema means be attentive. Be attentive when you say Shema, which tells me that I have to be a tzivoy on Yishmas. Which one is it? The Shema require kavana, not kavana. Ishtik. Rava was silent. Amrle midi shmiel chabal. So Rava turns to Amar and says, "Nu, have you heard anything about this?" So Amrle hachi Amrav sheshes v'hush shabatilin mimalachtan v'korin. I both say, what's the case? The case, ultimately, again, when do you require kavana? That's in a regular situation. When do you not require kavana? When it's going to cause you to lose out on work time. So I'll say, so ultimately, if you're working for someone, you don't have the right to be pious on someone else's clock. Right? If you're on the clock, then lamaisa, again, you give that person your all. I both say, Rav Kook, Sechetzad of HaKadosh Levracha, had an incredible saying. He said, when you daven, daven. And when you work, work. And when you learn, learn. Right? So Rav Kook said, whatever you're doing, give 1,000% of yourself to go ahead and to that particular initiative. So we'll say, sometimes we think that what's like a pious balabas? Someone who, when they're working, steals a couple of minutes to learn. We'll say, that's not piety. That's called theft. Right? So lemaisa, again, if somebody is paying me to do a job, and I say, oh, I'm going to get in a couple of minutes of Torah. And I say, that's not a mitzvah. Someone's paying you to do a job. So if you're getting paid to do a job, work. Work if you want to be pious. So ultimately, again, when you're learning, don't do your job. Right? So when you're learning, you don't have to check your email. Right? When you're learning, I could give all my time to my learning. When I'm going and I'm davening, I give all of my time to my davening. That's piety. Give 1,000% of yourself to whatever it is that you're doing. So the Gemara says, Vatanya, Beisela, Omrim, Oskim, Malachta, Makorin. Beis Hillel says that workers are permitted to continue to do their work and still say Shema, Lokashya, Haba Parakri, Shema Parak Sheni. They both say, when do we require Kavana? Right? When do we require Kavana? Even when you're working, that's just for the first, we call it first paragraph. Right? We've already seen, first paragraph doesn't actually mean first paragraph. What does it refer to? Really just the first line, Shema Yisrael Shema Elokeinu Hashem Echad, versus the rest of Shema that could even be said, quote unquote, without Kavana. So workers who are working by a balabayis, korin kriyashma, umivarchin lefaneu lacharehah. They recite Shema, and they make a bracha beforehand and afterwards. So we'll say, this actually is incredible. We're going to see this Gemara actually was something resembling this Gemara a little bit later on in the sixth parak as well. But this is incredible. So workers who are doing work by a balabas, so they say Shema, umivarch lefaneu lacharehah, they say Pirchos Kriyashma, both before Shema, after Shema, v'ochlin piton, and when they eat, umivarch lefaneu, they say hamotzi, ula achareha, and they bench afterwards, umispalolin tefillah shel shmoneh esrei, and they daven a whole shmoneh esrei, aval ein yard lifnei ha'tovah, but I will say, but what don't they do? You can't be part of a minion, right? You can't start making a minion on the job. Right, that you can't do. And they don't duchen. So let's say, see, the idea is, if you're on the clock, there are certain allowances that you can do in order, right? So according to this brisa, you could actually say Shema with the brachas, you could have in Shemona Esrei, you just can't have a minion, you can't start going ahead, you say bench, everything, no minion, no duchening. Vatanya me'en yuchas. But we learned elsewhere that if you're working and you're on the job, you don't daven a full Shemona Esrei, but rather you only daven Havinenu, the truncated form of Shemona Esrei. So we'll talk about this more in the fourth chapter. It's not a contradiction. HaRabbi Gamliel, HaRabbi Yoshua. So we'll say two different opinions, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. So remember again, we'll see this machlokas later on. The machlokas of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua is Rabbi Yoshua holds that in general, today we don't say a full Shemona Esrei. We only say Me'en Yuchas, Havinenu. Have you know that is the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. On the other hand, Rabbi Gamliel holds that no, we say regular Shemona Esrei. Havinenu is just required for extenuating circumstances. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshua, Ma'ir Yapol, Lemafilu Kol Adam Nami. But one second, if Lemaisa again, if it's Rabbi Yoshua, he's always say Havinenu, truncated Shemona Esrei. Ela Idi V'Idi Rabbi Gamliel. Rather, they're both reflected Rabbi Gamliel. What's the distinction of Lokashia? Kan Ba'osin Bischaron. This is really quite fascinating. In Talmudic times, there are two different types of employment arrangements. Some people would work for money, some people would work for food. So we'll say, so now what does this mean? So in general, if you are paying someone a wage, a salary, right? Or not necessarily a salary, a wage for their work, that demanded a heightened level of attentiveness to the day's work. Masha Inkin, if you were just paying someone in meals, so they worked for their meals, so it's understood that if you're working for your meals, that you're getting less from that particular employee, which makes sense, right? If you're getting paid a wage, so I expect a certain level of performance. If I'm paying my workers in food, they're just getting fed, there's a diminished level of performance. So mostly it's actually quite interesting. So the understanding over here is if you're getting a wage, you have much less time for your davening. Right? You're staying in the tree, you're staying in shortened form of Shemona Esrei. If you're getting paid in food, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Aval Osin Bisudasar, Bishil Ha'achila Levada, Mispalin Yudcha. So we'll say, it's interesting, if you're getting a wage, Havinenu. You're getting food, I'm sorry, you're getting wage, yes, you're getting a wage, Havinenu. You're getting food, complete Shemona Esrei. Quite interesting. So listen to this, but yet we learned elsewhere that when workers are working by the balabayis, they say Shema, umispalin, davish mor esrei, vochlin piton, and they eat their bread, but ve'in mevarchin lifanel. They don't have to make hamotzi. Again, we'll see later on what this means exactly. Avam mevarchin lachareha shtayim. And when they recite Pirkas HaMazon benching, they only say two brachas. In other words, they collapse all of benching into two brachas. Ketzad? Well, so some people do this every day. So Ketzad? Bracha rishon lekitikuna. You say the first bracha of benching in its regular form. Shnia poseach bebirchas haaretz. The kololan bone yushalayim bebirchas haaretz. So we'll say, and then they go ahead and they essentially just merge the secondary brachas. When is this true? Ba'osin bischaron. We'll say, when is this true? That again, you even do a shortened form of benching, that's when you are working for a wage. If you are, I don't want to say salaried, right? Because I think the mashmaos of salary, right? When you're a salary, it means like it's a much longer term. So that's what I'm going to say, a longer term. So the idea somebody's getting a wage. It could be just a day laborer, but I'm getting a wage for my labor. That requires a heightened level of performance. Therefore, because the heightened level of performance, ultimately, again, you have lesser spiritual restrictions obligations. So you're going to daven a shortened Shemona Esrei. You're going to do all of these things in a shortened form. So the Gemara says, "Va'osim b'sudasan." But if lemaisa, again, you're working for your food, where again there is diminished expectations. Or both said, "This is incredible." Oh, shahaya balabais mesav imahin. Both is very interesting. What happens if the balabas is eating together with his workers? So then what? Mevarchin kitikuna. Rabosa, in that case, then what? Then ultimately, again, the workers could bench normally. Why? What's the logic over here? Because if the balabas, right, is sitting down with the workers and they're all just eating and shmoozing, then that indicates that what? That the balabas is okay with this. So Rabosa, so bottom line, what comes out over here is this concept. Rabosa, now the truth is there's much contemporary literature, halachic literature, written about, right, religious practices in the workplace. In other words, they will say, what am I allowed to do on the clock? So today it's a little bit different, because since there's an understanding that halacha lemaisa, workers don't work the entire time that they're in their office, that they're in their workspace, right? There's an understanding. People take breaks. There's a lunch break. There's a this. So there's an understanding that ultimately, again, that halacha lemaisa, sorry.
Right.
So there's an understanding that lemaisa, people are not working all this. So what's this? So again, we're not going to get into the halachos over here, but just understand that if I am working for someone, lemaisa, the halacha tells me if you're getting paid from someone, they deserve your time. Not do they deserve your time, they've purchased your time. You are on their clock. And the notion of taking time for them to do something else, whether it's something mundane or even something spiritual, again, one has to be very vigilant about what they spend their time when they are on the clock for. So wasn't anyone goes right to chasafat the mikriyas shma. So again, the chas, remember we saw this already before. Chasan is pater from shma. Says the Gemara Tana Rabba, now b'shivtecha b'veisecha. Most we already saw this sugya, because the part of b'shivtecha b'veisecha, when you sit in your home, prakpa osig b'mitzvah. This comes to exclude someone who is engaged in a mitzvah. So we'll say if you're engaged in a mitzvah, ultimately you're pater from shema based on the concept of osig b'mitzvah pater in a mitzvah. Ubelechtecha b'derek, when you walk on your way, prat lechasan. This comes to exclude a chasan. Mikan amra konis abesabesula pater. If one goes in and marries a besula, ultimately, again, he is pater from Shema the night of the wedding. V'yas ha'almana chayiv. But if you marry an almana, right, you're chayiv. So my mashma, so we'll say, where do I get that from? How do I learn that from Balach Techaba Derech? So my papa, ki derech. Ma derech, Rishus, we'll say, just like a derech. If you go walk on the way, that's a Rishus, that's optional. So the Gemara says, af hachen nami Rishus. Milo askim the kozel dvarim. So how do you know? How do you know Balach Techaba Derech? Mei ba derech means what? That I'm on the way to perform a mitzvah. And even though I'm on the way to perform a mitzvah, the Torah still tells you to say Shema. Imki lemakra belechas. The pasuk could have just said belechas. When you go, my belechtecha. Bosse, what does belechtecha mean? When you go on your journey, shema mina belechtecha, belechas didachu demechayeves, hademitzvah patiras. So Bosse, what do we learn from here? When you're going on your journey, meaning you're walking for your own reasons, that's when ultimately, again, you are chayev and shema. But if you are on the journey of something mitzvah related, then ultimately what? Then halacha lemaisa, you are patur. The Gemara's understanding it to be specific reference to a chasan. Ihachi, if that's the case, my irakonis abisulafi lukonis samana nami. So if that's the case, I don't understand. Why is the chasan only patur from shema? If what? If he goes ahead and he's marrying a basula, why not even if he's marrying an almana? Hacha tard vahacha lo tard. Because we're saying, by a basula, he's tarid. There's a preoccupation. What's the preoccupation? Be a rishona, dam besulim, will she be a besula, not be a besula, the potential challenges to be encountered with the be a rishona. So he started, there's a preoccupation. That preoccupation only applies by a besula, doesn't apply to a ba'ula. One second. Imishum tirda, if you're going to tell me that a preoccupation, right, is a reason ultimately, again, to be part of from Shema, afilu tavas sina sabayam, nami. So we'll say, so what happens if I'm a businessman and I just heard that my boat sunk at sea? There's also a preoccupation. Now my mind is preoccupied with my loss. Yet, alama amar abi abba barzad, amarav, avel chayv ha-chomis is amoris patorah. Yet, also we know that an avel is chayiv in all mitzvos. And yet, chutz minat tefillin, which is by an avel by Yom Rishon. Avel on the first day is chayiv in all mitzvos, by tefillin, shari ne'mar behem, fe'er, shnemar, fe'ercha, chavush alecha. So we'll say the pasuk over here says, by Yecheskel, literally again, tefillin is called glory. Your glory is on you, so therefore again, the avel doesn't wear tefillin. But I will say, why is Mar bringing up avelos? Because ain't tir da gedolim izo. Right? When a person, chas v'shalom, experiences a loss, there's certainly a preoccupation. Yet, even though there's a preoccupation, the avel is chayiv. So you see over here that preoccupation is not the reason for exemptions. What's going on over here? To which the Gemara says, Amri hasam tir da derishus, hacha tir da demitzvah. The Rabbah say, everything depends on the nature of the preoccupation. If you're preoccupied with what we'll call an optional preoccupation, in other words, not a mandated preoccupation, that's not a reason for a patur. We'll say, if that was a reason for a patur, then what? Then what? No one would ever say Kriyat Shema. Right? The only reason for a Patur is a preoccupation with a mitzvah, tirda of the mitzvah. So we'll say, I want to point out something very important that comes out from this sugya. What comes out therefore from this Gemara Bosai is that there are two different concepts. B'shiftecha b'veisecha teaches me that what? That ultimately, again, if I am osek b'mitzvah, I am part of the mitzvah. So we'll say, what does osek b'mitzvah mean? Iskos b'mitzvah means that what? I'm involved in a mitzvah. I'm actively doing something now, and therefore, because I'm doing something now, that exempts me from the performance. V'lechtecha baderech teaches me something else. Teaches me a new concept called tirdas mitzvah. Tirdas mitzvah means I'm not actually doing anything, right? I'm not actively involved in the mitzvah because that's b'shitcha b'veisecha. Rather, what's happening over here? There's a tirda de mitzvah. I'm preoccupied with the mitzvah. What does that mean? So we'll say, so that is something cognitive, not necessarily something physical. B'shiftecha b'veisecha teaches me pratla osek b'mitzvah. That's, I'm physical iskus, I'm involved in a mitzvah. Osek b'mitzvah, you're physically involved in mitzvah A, you're exempt from mitzvah B. B'shiftecha b'veisecha, I'm sorry, lechtecha b'aderech is iskus b'mitzvah. We call tirdas mitzvah. So if I'm preoccupied, I will say, what fits into the category of tirda de mitzvah? It would appear that there's only one concept that fits into that category, which is what? Which is what? Chasen by Kriyat Shema. That a chasen, ultimately, again, who marries a basula, there's a tirda de mitzvah. What is the chasen doing? Nothing really, right? But there's a preoccupation, there's a cognitive preoccupation with feeling a bit overwhelmed by the potential of what's going to happen with the Bi'ah Rishona, and therefore he is parted from the mitzvah. We'll say an incredible new category in Halacha called Tirda de Mitzvah. Good. Mishnah. We'll say this is incredible. Rachatz Laila Harishon Shemese Ishto. We'll say continues Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel went ahead and his wife passed away, and he washed, he bathed during the first, and that appears, Rashi over here understands that the case over here is he's in Shiva. And he's bathing during Shiva. But I just want to point out something amazing. Don't understand what just happened over here? The previous Mishnah spoke about Rabbi Gamliel's wedding. Right? He got married. And he said Kriyat Shema on his wedding night. This next Mishnah now is what? His wife passed away. They both say, see, you know what's amazing? Life goes by so incredibly quickly. Right? You blink an eye, you turn the page. and you're in the beginning of your life, and now the next page, ultimately again, you're at the end of your life. You know, we'll say the Chafetz Chaim says in the Pasuk in Koheles, where Shlomo Melech says all the ace, you know, ace, all the different, there's a time for this, a time for that. The Chafetz Chaim points out, he says, Shlomo Melech doesn't say, ace lachios ve ace lamos. Right, there's a time to live and a time, right, or a time to live and a time to die. He says because people are so busy with life, they don't really have time to live. And so I say life goes by so incredibly quickly. Literally, again, on Amud Aleph, it's life, the beginning of a new life together, and on Amud Beis, it's the end of a chapter. But so we have to maximize every single moment. A, because we don't know how much time we have in this world, and B, because even if you're given a lot of time, it goes by so incredibly quickly. So Rabbi Gamliel goes ahead and washes during Shiva. Rabbi, you taught us that you're not permitted to bathe during Shiva. So what does he say? This is incredible. So Amar Lahem, Eini kishar b'nei adam istinis ani. Rabbi Gamliel says, I'm different. Right? I'm an istinis. Rabbi says, so istinis is this interesting category in halacha. Istinus means, Rashi says over here, time of the istinus and even who adam unag or mifunak, right? The mifunak. So I think the English word that's often used is fastidious. I don't know what that means, right? But it sounds very good, right? The fastidious person. So I'll say, so the idea is sensitive. Someone who is accept. So Rabbi Gamliel saying is yes. The halacha is you cannot bathe during avelus, but I am a very sensitive person, and if I don't bathe, I'm going to have a heightened sense of tsar, of discomfort, and therefore, again, a person like me is permitted to bathe. So the Gemara says, though similarly, again, when Tevi, his servant, now we'll say Tevi, as we're going to see, Tevi was a Eved Kenani, was white, and we'll say, so remember, just a quick look, right, Eved Kenani is a Gentile, non-Jewish servant. Now remember, it's interesting because the halacha is, there's no such thing, I will say in general, you know, like here's all the time in the world, especially by celebrities, like they're half Jewish, a quarter Jewish, as well say, so remember again, there's no such thing, like either you're in or you're out. Hey, with one exception, the one exception is an Eved Kenani. An Eved Kenani is actually kind of quasi-Jewish, because when you become a Gentile servant who is bought by a Jew, you have a tevila l'shem avdus, which means an immersion for the sake of servitude, which actually makes you quasi-Jewish. Upon emancipation, that Eved Kenani actually becomes a full-fledged Jew. So listen to this. So Rabbi Gamliel accepted consolation, meaning people were saying like Hamakom Yinachem, ultimately again for Tavi. And Rabbi Gamliel accepted it. Then Rabbi, you taught us that you do not accept consolation for Avadim. And Rabbi said, we're going to see the reason we do this is not out of an indifference for Avadim. We do this actually for Yichus purposes. We have to be very careful that people know who is a Jew and who is not a Jew. For marriage purposes, for Yichus purposes, for genealogical purposes. So therefore, if you mekabel tanchumim, right? If like you imagine, if you sit Shiva for your Eved, people are going to assume that what is the Eved? The Eved is a Jew. So Rabbi, you taught us you're not mekabel tanchumim for an Eved Kenani. Amar lahen, Ein Tavi Avdi Kishar Kal Avadim. My servant Tavi is not like other Avadim. Kasher Haya. He was exceptionally pious. Chasan. In Motz Alikras Kriyashma Laila Rishon Koreba. So also listen to this. Now, interesting enough, we say, Chasan, if he wants to say Kriyashma on the night of his wedding, he could do so. In other words, if a Chasan, if he's confident that he could have Kavana, he could say Shema. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Lo Kolarota Litolas Hashem Yitol. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, that's not the way it works. If Chazal said a Chasan is Pater, then a chassan is putter. And you can't decide that you're better than everyone else, that you have the ability to have kavanah. We'll see what to do with that. So it's a matter of Rav Shimon Gamliel. So what's Rav Shimon Gamliel's lachin? As well, say, why does Rav Shimon Gamliel allow for a bathing during Shiva? Kasavra aninos laila dirabanan. He held that aninos of the night, right, was only dirabanan. Dechsev acharise ki yomar ubimakom istinis lo gazer beirabanan. So we'll say, so there's a whole discussion again. We don't have time for it now, but again, we'll get to it in Moed Katan in a couple of years. But we'll say, but again, not actually less than a couple of years. So we'll say, so we're going to see, the Gemara is using certain words interchangeably, like aninos and avelos. Right, remember again, those refer to two very different states. Aninus is the state between death and burial. Avelus is what happens after burial. Shabbos says, suffice it to say for our purposes today, Me'ikar Adin, one is not permitted to bathe during Aninus, nor is one permitted to bathe ultimately again during Avelos. But understand that these concepts are dine dirabanan. So we'll say at most there's a discussion, maybe Avelos on the first day, maybe Aninos is going to be daraisa, maybe, but even that's the actual date of death. When is this actually happening? This event is happening when? The night after the burial. So certainly, again, by that time, we are in rabbinic terrain. And therefore, again, halacha l'maaseh, Rabbi Gamliel felt because of istinus, he can make it on a dirabanan. I will say, this is actually very important to halacha l'maaseh. So we know that one of the prohibitions during Avelos is bathing. But so we'll say there's a lot of discussion contemporarily today because bathing standards, hygienic standards, have clearly changed. So we'll say, when Chazal said, you don't bathe during Shiva. Okay, so the truth is, understand, that was not such a crazy departure from the norm anyway. So there's much recent rabbinic literature about what to do with bathing contemporarily. So we'll say there are many poskim who are more mako on bathing contemporarily during Shiva. Not pleasure bathing, but a quick lukewarm shower, a quick lukewarm shower just to remove schmutz. Because again, today, the truth is many of us fall into the category of an istinus, or as Rashi says, a mifunak, right? Because of a variety of different circumstances. But again, but that's what's happening over here. Because he's an istinus, he therefore felt that he could be more mako with some of the halachas. Tana Rabbanan, avadu mushvachos in omdin alein b'shura. So both say, servants, shvachos, you do not stand on b'shura. So shura, both say, is what we do even today. Right? What happens today, halacha l'maisa? After the burial, everybody forms two lines, right? That's called the shura. In the times of the Gemara, they did it a little bit differently. When they were walking back, when the mourners were walking back from the cemetery, ultimately, again, they would go ahead and halacha l'maisa, go ahead and form like a ring, right? Or like a line around the avel. So we don't do that by avodim. We don't say birchas avelim for them. V'tanchumi avelim or the comfort refers ultimately again to bracha that they would go ahead and give the avelim by the suda savra. We don't do these things today, but in Moed Katan, the Gemara discusses that when the avel would come back from the cemetery, the first thing they would do would give them a koshel tanchum, a cup of consolation. What was the cup of consolation, Rabbi Ozai? It was a huge glass of wine. That's what the Ava would drink. First thing coming back, a huge glass of wine, and they would say a certain bracha of consolation. We don't do any of this for Avodim. Rabbi Ozai, again, not to be indifferent to the loss of Avodim. But I will say, ultimately, again, because we have to be so careful that people will not think that Avodim were Jews. We cannot have a blurring of genealogical lines because that causes incredible tzaras. So the Gemara says, "Umaisa, umaisa shifchas al shabbat lazov nirchazut amidah v'nachma." What's a great story? One time, Rabbi Eliezer's shifcha, his maidservant, passed away, and what happened? His students came in nirchazut amidah v'nachma. His students came in to console him. Kevan shirao some al aliyah. When he saw them come in, he went upstairs. V'alu acharav, they followed him. Nichnas lan pilon, he went to a different room. Nichnasu Acharav, they followed him. Nichnas L'Charklin, he went to another room. Nichnasu Acharav. So as I say here, it's actually amazing. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't want to, quote-unquote, rebuke his students. So he just tries to get up and figuring that what? If he leaves, they're kind of going to get the hint. Amr Lahem, Kimaduma Ani Sha'atam Nichlim Eposhrim. Achshav Yatam Nichnaf Yilu B'chami Chamin. I thought that you would get scalded with lukewarm water, but now I see you don't need to get scalded with boiling hot water. As what he was saying is, essentially, the loose translation of that is, I thought you would get the hint, right? Clearly, you don't even pick up on the hint, right? So again, I thought when I got up, you would understand. Now, clearly, so lo kach shani sinecham, did I not teach you? Aval demushvachos in omdin aleim b'shura, v'in omdin aleim b'rchas aveilim, v'lo tanchumi aveilim. So I taught you, you do not go ahead and observe any of the normative mourning practices for servants or maidservants. So what do you say when the person loses an eved or a shivcha? The loss of an eved is like the loss of property. What do you say when a person loses a piece of property? When he loses an ox or he loses a donkey? Hamakom yimalei lacha chesronech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should fill your loss. Kach omrim lo al avdo va'al shivchaso hamokom yimali l'cha chesronech. Ultimately, that's what you say for the loss of an ever loss of a shivcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should fill your loss. Rabbi Ozai, get ready for this Gemara. If you are using your own Gemara, underline this. underline it, Rabbi Osai. Tanya Idach. Rabbi Osai, another brisa. Listen to this. Avadim u'shvachos in masmidin osam. Rabbi Osai, we do not deliver eulogies for avadim and shvachos. Again, Rabbi Osai, we don't deliver the eulogies. Rabbi Yossi Omer. And Rabbi Osai, I just want to point out, remember again, all of this is in order to ensure that genealogical lines remain pure. Remember, an Eved was someone who you may have had a very close relationship to. Might have even been like a part of your mishpacha, which is incredible. But lemaisa, it is so important to indicate who is a Jew and who is not a Jew. So I said, listen to this. So we don't give hespedim for avadim. Get ready for this. Are you ready? Rabbi Yossi Lomer, im Eved Kasher Omer Malav. If a person was an Eved Kasher and he passed away, you could say a simple eulogy. What's the simple eulogy? Hoy, woe to us, Ish Tov V'ne'eman. The man who passed away was a good man, was trustworthy, V'ne'ena Mi'igio. And he benefited from his own labor. This is the hesped you give for a good Eved. Amru L'Rabose, said to Rabbi Yossi, Im Kein, Mahanachta L'Ksherim. If that's what you're going to use for Avodim, then what have you left for the rest of us? They're both saying, do you know what the best eulogy someone could say about you? The best eulogy? That you are a good man, that you are trustworthy, that you worked hard, and that what you had in life, you had because of your own efforts. And we'll say that is the ultimate hesped. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? If this is the hesped that we give for the avodim, then ultimately, again, what is that? So we'll say, you know, we often wonder to ourselves, that like, what is the metric of success in life? Here the Gemara says, here's the metric of success. Be a good person. Be tov. Tov, of course, is a very expansive word. Tov l'shamayim, tov l'brios, be a good person. Ne'aman, be someone who keeps your word. Be someone who is trustworthy. And be the kind of person who is willing to work hard. Don't expect other things to be. I will say the best way to get through life, the best way, expect nothing from everyone. I know that sounds like a little bit jaded and cynical, but it's not. It's just a great way to live. Don't expect anything from anyone. If you get something from someone, it's an incredible bonus. But expect nothing from everyone. You want something in life? Work hard, make it happen. And if you're not willing to work hard, don't expect it to happen. Don't look for other people to help you. Don't look for other people to be mamale your chisaron. Don't look for other people to nudge you along, to help you, to give you words of encouragement. Whatever you want, do it on your own steam. If you are a person who is nene, miyigio, who's willing to benefit from his own labor, you're tov, you're ne'eman, that is a successful life. Tana Rabbanan, Einkarn Avos El Shlosha. Blessed be, you only call three people Avos. Our Zohar said that even though we have many great people throughout our history, ultimately, again, there are only three people we call Avos. Einkarn Imaos El Arba. And ultimately, again, we only call Imaos four people. Our Zohar said, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Sa, Rivka, Racha, Leah. These are the Avos and Imaos. My time, oh. Ilei Mishon Dolei Adin, Emi Reuven Kasinan, Emi Shavon Kasinan. So maybe you'll say, the reason, what bothers the Gemara is, why don't we call the Shvatim Avos as well? Maybe it's because we don't know which Shevet we come from. So how could I call the Shvatim the Avos? I don't know which Shevet I come from. So, Ihachi Imaos, Nami Loi Adin, Emi Rachel Kasinan, Emi Leah Kasinan. I'll say, by the Imaos, I don't know, do I come from Rachel, do I come from Leah? Ela, at hocha chashivi, tfei lo chashivi. Rather, we'll say what it means is like this. Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Sara, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, were on a level, on a ramah, on a level different from everyone else. Although there are many other great people, no one was like the three avos and the four imos. They are on a different level. Tanya Idach, another braisa, avadim u'shvachos in karen osin abba ploni, v'ima plonis. We'll say something very interesting, which is avadim u'shvachos, you don't call them father so-and-so and mother so-and-so. We'll say apparently in Talmudic times, so you would call adults Abba Ploni, father so-and-so. Right religion still, right? Father so-and-so, right? Mother so-and-so. This was a term of like respect. So ultimately, again, the Gemara says you don't do this for Avadim and Shvachos. Again, because of confusion. I just want to point out, it's also something very important. I know I was raised this particular way. I think it's a little bit lost on the younger generation. To teach children not to call adults by their first names. Very important. So children have to be taught respect for adults. And if children are going around calling people much older than them, whether it's their parents or other people, you know, Chaim, Yankel, Sarifka, there's a lack of reference and a lack of respect that children have for that. The need for children to understand, this is Mr. So-and-so, this is Mrs. So-and-so. It engenders, yes, it's a bit more formal, but it engenders a certain level of derech eretz and kavod in parts of children. So the Gemara goes right there. The Gemara says, "V'shar Rabbi Gamliel, ha'yikornos abaploni v'imaplonis." And I will say, ultimately, but in Rabbi Gamliel's household, they would call the avadim. They would call the avadim abaploni imaplonis. To which the Gemara says, "My solicitor, are you quoting a story to contradict what we just said?" To which the Gemara says, "Mishum dechashivi." No, because the avadim Rabbi Gamliel's home were on a different level. They were on a different level because they were on a different level. Therefore, again, they were regarded. They were called by these titles. We'll say one more line, then we'll stop. Sorry, we're going a little bit late. Amar lo zermay dechsev. What's the meaning of the pasuk? What's the meaning of this verse? To which the Gemara says, I will bless you in my lifetime. Zukriyashma. This refers to Shema. Beshimcha esa kapai. With your name I will lift my hands. Zutfilo. This is called, this is a reference to Shmona Esrei. Vim osekein. And if you say Shema and Shmona Esrei, Allah v'kasav omer. What does the pasuk say about you? Kimo chelev v'deshen tis banafshi. And if you say Shema, and if you say Shema, I say then what Rabbi say? Then ultimately, again, I will be sated with fat, and ultimately, again, with goodness. V'lo od, not only that, Ella. Okay, I'm going to finish. I promise. Ella shenochel. That's my time. Ella shenochel shle olamim. Not only that, but what? I go ahead and I inherit two worlds. Ha'olam azeh va'olam abba. This world and the next world. Shenemar v'sifsei renonos yahalopi. Plural, we'll say sisi renonos. Ultimately, the renonos, the praises of my lips will come out of my mouth. Shabbos, we'll say, just want to point out, with this we'll conclude. Sometimes we think that it's so difficult in life to go ahead and forge a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's so difficult to have a meaningful olam hazeh and olam haba. Shabbos, we'll say, if I just take the time to have a meaningful Shema experience, a meaningful Shmona Esrei experience, I'm nochel, I inherit this world and the next. Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not require all that much. It just requires us to push ourselves a bit more kavana by Shema, a bit more kavana by Shmona Esrei, and there is no telling what we can make of ourselves in this world and in the next.